I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
SansPants Radio. I never want to go to the moon. Movie Maintenance is approaching their 100th episode, and to help celebrate such a momentous occasion, they're teaming up with Plumbing the Death Star to do another live show. It's on Saturday, the 29th of April, from 3 till 6pm at the Exford Hotel in Melbourne. Tickets are available through Try Bookings, so just follow the link in the show notes to book yours today. However, we do have limited seating, so get in quick to avoid missing out.
Welcome to this week's episode of Movie Maintenance, where some movies just need fixing. I'm Handsome Tom.
I'm Sean.
I'm Elise.
And this week, it's Passengers, or Stockholm Syndrome in Space, the movie. Fuck you, Passengers.
It really is, isn't it?
The plot is literally the symptoms of Stockholm Syndrome in space with attractive people.
That's very why attractive it's okay, because they're attractive.
It's not okay, Elise. How dare you suggest that?
Out of five, Tom?
Two?
Two and a half sort of film.
It lost more points because I feel like the marketing campaign and everything leading up to it deliberately misled people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew that their core premise was fucked and that people wouldn't see the movie. And, like, I love Chris Pratt and I follow him on Twitter, but he's getting lots of, like, you're great, Chris Pratt. And he retweets people when they say the movie's good. And I'm like, Chris Pratt, I like you. You are testing my patience here, man.
Yeah.
Be better and stuff.
I saw it at the drive-in, which, just slightly off topic, I don't recommend for space films. Because when you go
you're
there...
You're in a car and you get confused for a minute? And
yeah,
try
true.
To
yeah. I'm like, why am I in a vehicle? Why am I in a car, not a spaceship? What the fuck? No, it's like, because it's the blacks. It's like the screen isn't dark enough. And it's hard to sort of follow
don't
some
see
of
anything.
The darker moments.
You shouldn't see anything that you're actually excited to see at the drive-in.
That is an excellent point. Never see a movie that you really want. Yeah.
What annoys me, though, to take away from the core concept being fucked, but also what a waste of Michael Sheen.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
It's a very Shining vibe to it.
Why is Lawrence Fishburne in the film?
Tell me, please.
When I was watching it, as soon as Lawrence Fishburne woke up, I'm like, all right, here we go. Something's going to happen. He's going to be important. Like, oh, no, he's dead now. Ah, oh, that's it.
Yep.
He's brought back to life to die.
Well, just so they could get the pass, wasn't it?
That's literally,
yeah, that was it.
Surely there's a better way to do it.
Yeah.
I love in the movies when someone gets sick and they cough and their hand goes to their mouth, and you go, oh, here we go. Blood on hand. Here it comes. Here it comes. And they delivered. So, you know, at least they got that right. Why is there only one medical pod on the entire ship? There are 5,000 passengers who are eventually, like, what's the thing? They're going to wake up 4 months before they
get to the idea that the hibernation pods can all... I always thought the hibernation pods can act as medical pods, but the issue is that he's malfunctions... As does Fishburne's.
And he broke hers
to get her out.
So then, they go to a specific room where there's like, here's a medical pod. But it's the only one on the ship.
Yeah, I think once you start picking, like I was reading other stuff about it, it makes no sense that suddenly for 5,000 people, they would not have a way to actually put you back into sleep. And the whole thing of like...
Or the fact that the crew are also all asleep at the same time. There's not like a rotating roster of crew.
Yeah, why isn't there a rotating roster? For all the technology that goes into actually having that ship exist, the fact that there is not like a failsafe for, oops, one of the pods fucked up, we need to put them back to sleep. It's just fucking stupid.
And the fact that Chris Pratt can...
But he can do all this high-tech space engineer shit, but he can't fix the fucking pod. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Hey, he knows how to vent a nuclear reactor.
Well, he can do that.
But he can't fix a pod. pod or his broken, lonely heart.
Did you enjoy, like, the redemption? It's like, oh, you're a creepo and you woke her up, but you're going to hold the door open and sacrifice yourself, so good for you, mate.
Quickest movie maintenance ever. She doesn't revive him and just, I don't know, drives the ship into the sun.
There's a quick maintenance you could do to this film, which is have her, when she finds out he was the cause for her waking up, that's when the audience finds out. I think that's all you have to do with this film.
I will say incorrect because I have a whole pitch planned and that would ruin this entire episode if I went, yeah, that's it, Sean. That's my, well, on that note, no, I.
Yeah. But I just think that's what the film needs.
Yeah.
Because there's no actual dramatic tension in this film. And just imagine how much, like, I think the film would be a lot better.
Oh, there was when Lawrence Fishburne woke up and I thought he was a murderer.
No, like, imagine if you get 2/3 of the way in and Chris Pratt just says to her, oh, I've got something to tell you, and then he drops that bomb. And then you can show it in a flashback, all the stuff. You know how we see him on his own for, like, the first 15 minutes of the film? Then you show all that. Then you show him wake her up. The film should have started, it should have presented them as her and him waking up at the same time.
Or it's from her Jennifer point Lawrence of view. Is the protagonist.
Yeah. Like, no, it could still be him, but it...
No, it has to be her.
No, it could, because the film could just open and she could wake up and be walking around and he could wake up and be walking around and then you don't know. Do you know what I mean? And then later you show it in a flashback that he's a cheeky bugger who's opened her thing up and woke up.
You do that thing they did in Westworld where they have all those, like, scenes happening concurrently, but they're actually set several years apart.
Yeah, you do that. And then, like, 2/3 of the way through the film, he tells her, and because the movie doesn't have, like, a bombshell moment. That's what you want. You want, like, a moment.
It does have a bombshell moment. It was the moment when I was like, oh, my God, this film is trash. That was the bombshell moment.
Dropped. But you want it to drop for good reasons.
I was so annoyed, too, because I was really excited for this film. Like, original sci-fi, great cast. It just ticked all these boxes. And then, surprise, there are no boxes or ticks or a film. It's just shit.
But what did you think of the actual... Yeah, the reveal from, at least when you start watching the movie, that he wakes her up. Because I thought that was a really interesting moral. If you wanted to base the film around that decision of knowing it's a terrible choice, but you were so lonely and so desperate that you're going to do it anyway.
But they didn't.
I wanted him to, like, be alone for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he... So you see, like, he gets the idea maybe a year in and then it just
starts niggling
until he does it. And then she also doesn't find out for, like, another few years. I just thought...
I want to be able to understand him more.
Yes. Yeah. Like, being on your own for a year.
If you're going to make it his story, you need to have sympathy, and you don't have sympathy when it's just...
I think the core premise of this film is actually really suited to, like, a small, like, indie film.
Yeah, I felt like it didn't know what it was.
It's like an indie romance film. And then at a certain point, they probably get about halfway through the film and they go, oh, fuck, we've got a big sci-fi budget. We better have some action.
We better blow some shit up.
We better blow stuff up. Yeah.
Like the sort scene of where she's in the pool. And, like,
visually, that was cool.
That was cool. That was cool. So, like, okay, it looks good. It's kind of like, it's a perfect movie for a movie maintenance because it's just, like, had so much potential and is just... terribly mediocre in the same way that Doctor Strange had so much potential and was terribly mediocre. So
there was a resolution towards the end, wasn't there, where he figured out, he's like, I can put you back under. But
well, because they work out that they work out that the med pod could be turned into a hibernation pod.
Yeah.
And he's like, I put you back in because that would be fair. And you freeze on her deciding whether or not she wants to do that. And then you cut to Andy Garcia walking in, seeing the tree and realizing that she chose to stay with him because he's a nice guy deep down.
I'd have had her take that option.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
And then the film ends with Jennifer Lawrence waking up again and coming out, and there's trees everywhere, and Chris Pratt's probably, like, put a bunch of little, like, monuments to her or something.
Absolutely.
Around, little nice things.
That would redeem him.
And then she still had that connection with him, and that was great, but she gets to live the life that she wanted.
I'm going to pack my pitch up. No, it's not what I've done. Yeah.
That'll do. See you next week, guys.
Yeah. My thing was that there's two things you do with with Passengers. You either make it solely about that and the consequence of that choice, whether you depict that as, like, this guy, like, struggling with that, or, like, and even in the end with the romance, you end it on a note so that it's clear that she was like, look, what you did was fucked up. I forgive you, but I'm still going back to sleep.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Or you just change the film completely and just, I don't know, have them both wake up at the same time or near to one another. Or you make it scary. Basically, I was thinking... And I didn't do this, but I was just thinking as you were talking then, if you're going to make Passengers work, you need to set it in the Black Mirror universe where people are morally reprehensible around technology. That would be – because then what you do is in the twist is the last 5 minutes you reveal that – because it would be cool if they spent like 30 years together and he was like, by the way, I woke you up.
Also, they have kids.
Yeah, they have
totally, kids. Oh, like, fuck yeah. Then you've got this Ex Machina, like, just creepy as hell vibe to it. Mm. That's a different movie.
And maybe the protagonist is the daughter. Fuck, this isn't the film I pitched. I'm so angry. the protagonist is their daughter, and she's unpacking it. She's like, Mom, he woke you up on purpose. And she's like, no, he didn't.
Like, when Annie Garcia comes out and, you know, showing the kind of, like, paradise that they've created, I totally expected kids to come out. I mean, if they've been living...
Actually, good together, point.
I was like, where... Wouldn't you have kids? Like, just... company-wise, to have a life. Like,
this is Hollywood. Don't be putting kids out of Jennifer Lawrence's vagina, okay?
Can't be having that.
No.
That's a really good point, though.
And also, they probably, like, Jennifer Lawrence probably would have still been alive.
By that point, it'd be like, they're
how old is she? She's like...
No, she wouldn't be alive. They had 90 years to go.
No, only 88 by the time she wakes up.
No, but Jennifer Lawrence is already, like, she's 25.
Yeah, but if it's the future, people live longer every year. She'd only be like...
She's got the health pod. But I just she could just keep going.
They could just keep going in there and healing them. Oh my god! They could have. He could have been like, "Look, I'm sorry I woke you up, but every time we age, I'll just heal you in the Medipod for a bit."
No, that's not how the Medipod fucking works.
Should be.
It's like bloody a cold and you know general diseases. Can I say
if that Medipod is treating a common cold, that is a super advanced fucking Medipod.
Hell yeah! But it's no.
Casting aside all science, I'm going to pitch to you how passengers should have actually passaged. Is that the past tense of passengers?
I don't know, but let's go with it.
All right, so there's only four characters in this film. Jim, Aurora, and Arthur, as we named correctly before.
Yes.
What's Lawrence Fishburne's character's name?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Captain.
Morpheus.
Anyway, the character's name is Gus.
Okay.
Gus.
So Jim, Aurora, Gus, and Arthur are the only characters in my film. Maybe you see briefly Garcia or some of the other people in it. Well, you would because they're in it.
Yeah.
And it's effectively the same plot, the premise of, you know, two people on a ship going out to Homestead 2. That's where they're going, isn't it?
Yeah, Homestead 2.
Homestead 2 is where they're going. So they're going out to there to be a part of this. However, unlike the first film where they kind of sort of explain where they're going, but it's really like, oh, we're just going on another planet and you guys are lucky enough to go there. It's a second chance. This was designed as a second chance. So if you're on this ship, you're going to be like, there's already been a ship before you. You're the second wave of people. You're not there to kind of do anything. You're there to get a second chance because you fucked up something. You're going over there. You're actually there to help build the infrastructure. So we don't see anything. The film opens, white room, and it's just like a point of view of Chris Pratt looking at Arthur, Michael Sheen, in a white room.
Sure.
And in this one, Arthur doesn't have wheels. He looks more like, he's basically Michael Sheen, so he's more of a bishop android thing from Alien and Prometheus than a shitty robot. And he wakes up, and the character's name is Jim Preston.
Sure.
And he wakes up, and Arthur says to him, "Hello, Carter." And Chris Pratt's like, "What? Oh, yeah, yeah. Hi, what is this?" And I was like, "You're here because your application was successful. I'm here to tell you that, you know, this. I'm here to ease you into the process while you're going on your journey because there may be some disorientation while you're traveling." It's like, on my journey. It's like, yes, you applied for the Second Chance program through, you know, Homestead 2 and the Axiom. And is that the name of the ship? Or have I taken the name of the ship from
Avalon.
Wally? It's
Avalon.
The Avalon. Yep. The Axiom is the name of the ship in Wally. I'm doing real badly here, guys. It's like, no, your application was successful, but I'm here just to ease you through the process. Why don't you tell me your happiest memory, Carter? It's like, I got in. He's like, this worked. He's like, yes, you applied. It's like, yes, I applied. Absolutely. My name is Carter. I definitely applied.
Oh.
Let's go here. What did you want to know? My happy memory. He's like, yeah. He's like, why don't I know my happy memory? Hang on, wait. Why am I in this white room? Is this like the interview process to get on the ship? I was like, oh, no. You're already on the ship. We're halfway through the journey. Well, you know, early into the journey, you're in hibernation. And this is just me talking to you because we figured that rather having you sitting in a pod dreaming about God knows what, wouldn't it be terrible to have a nightmare for 90 years? I'm here to ease you into the process. So we're having this conversation and tell me about your happiest memories. Like, wait, if I'm on the ship already, why don't I remember anything that's happened before this? I'm like, I'm just in this room. I don't remember getting on the ship. He's like, yeah, no, there was a great party. You had a very good time, as I recall. He's like, if you like, I can show you the party that you had. He's like, yeah, maybe that'll be good. He's like, all right, that'll be your happy memory. He's like, you don't have any happy memories? He's like, oh, there was a time when I was a kid. It was on my mum's birthday and I got her a car for her birthday. He's like, the party. Do the party. The party's the better one. Show me the party. He's like, all right, welcome aboard, Carter. This is the party that you'll be having for, you know, the next 90 years. And we literally kind of like, as that kind of goes, so he fades out and all of a sudden Chris Pratt's just standing on the ship. It's full. They're having a big fucking awesome party. Here you get through like the exposition type stuff. So like maybe this is where you do have Captain
they explain
Norris.
The pods to you and that.
Yeah, so they explain the pods. Like, okay, this is the orientation. Welcome for the second chance program. You've all been selected because you deserve a second chance. You are not the actions that you've done previously. You can start anew. You can be more than just what you were before. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's this whole spiel, and basically it's this awesome. This is where you can have the cool sci-fi things. It's this big fancy party. Arthur's there pouring drinks. Everyone's having a great time. I'm always moving around the party. People are like, "Oh, hi, what's your name?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm Jim. I'm Carter. It's nice to meet you." And he's shaking hands with people, and he's just like having a good time. And he kind of has this kind of encounter across the room with Jennifer Lawrence's Aurora. We don't know that's her, but he spots her across the room and he's like, "Oh, it's a really hot chick over there." Yep. Hey, and she's like, "I don't want anything to do with that. You're gross. Goodbye." And he's like, "Oh, okay." You know, that should have been her reaction when she discovered that he murdered her basically, but like with time travel. That's effectively what he did anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But she beats him up. I did actually really like that scene.
The hell
when
out
he,
of him.
When he finds out.
Yeah, so you get the whole exposition thing of explaining what their function will be. So when they land, you know, you are the second wave. The first wave will have started building it up. They'll be all settled in. You'll go in there, you'll get your work so that by the time the non-second chance people get there, you'll have set up a society, you'll have jobs, and you're being paid for it too. This isn't just you're going to go out into the space and the payment is the journey. We're actually going to pay you so you can be set up and be working and contributing by the time people start arriving at Homestead 2 to colonize it. They're the first fleet of Homestead 2.
Can we know now, or maybe this is something we have to find out in a little while, but these people,
yep,
are they from prison? Are they convicts? Are they? Is it someone who just like, "Oh, I got in a fight with somebody and so, I just want a second chance"? What's the degree of like?
They're not okay. So they're not obviously putting like murderers and rapists on.
Yeah, okay, yep.
Because they stay in prison. So white collar criminals or a guy who like stole some cars. So people who've done something stupid
or tax fraud
past,
or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Like that.
So not even necessarily just white collar, but just like maybe a pickpocket. Or a guy who's in for armed robbery that he only did once and he was serving 10 years and he's come out and he's got no job.
So they're like the good criminals
choice?
With hearts of gold.
Yeah, they've had a choice because you have to apply for it.
Okay,
If you don't apply, you don't get to go. So he's definitely applied for it.
And anyway, there's like an extensive interview process and all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
So they're criminals without being like psychotic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Correct, correct. They're just people who deserve a second chance. They've done
their time and now it's...
Yeah, so it's this great time. He's having a really... really excellent time. It's literally just you see more of the ship, some of the cool things that are available to them. Maybe there's like a tour going on with like one of the crew being like, "And over here, they explain the hibernation pods," and then maybe he peels off and he's dancing with some guys and he's having a drink. He's just having a great time. And every now and again, he just spots Jennifer Lawrence like watching him and he's like, "Hey," and she's like, "No, get fucked." And just a couple of times. And then he sort of walks in the room and then like the lights go down and come back up again. He's like, "Oh, that was weird." But no one else seems to have like worried about that, and he's like, "Oh, okay, that's going on." He's walking along, and then he suddenly just like drops his drink, and like falls out of his hand, and he's like, "Oh, that's weird. I should be able to just hold my drink. I'm okay, guys." And he like falls into the bar, and he's all like woozy, and then the lights flick on and off again, and there's this like weird like buzzing sound, and like shit starts going on outside, and it looks like the ship is like about to like implode and be destroyed, and then he just hears Arthur's calm Michael Sheen voice in his ear, just, "Oh dear," and then he wakes up, bang. He's coming out of the hibernation pod.
Cool.
So that's his sort of.
I love it. That's like the happy memory they gave him.
You know, I needed exposition, and also he didn't have a happy memory.
Cool.
Which we'll discover why later. So Jim wakes up in the hibernation, and it's effectively the same beats we see in that opening 15 minutes. Because there's nothing wrong with those before you discover that he's this creepy stalker man.
Yep.
However, rather than cap it at a year, I've made it 6 months because that kind of services, you know, my story and,
sure,
you know, because that's better. Yeah. And basically he sort of explores the ship and he runs into Arthur. He's like, "Hey, you're in my dreams." And I was like, "I'm in everyone's dreams. What can I do for you? You're not supposed to be awake." He's like, "You know, something happened and I woke up." And I was like, "That is highly unusual." It's like, "Can you put me back in?" He's like, "No, we cannot. I am dreadfully sorry, but there is no way we can put you back in the hibernation pod." He's like, "Well, that's dumb. Why would you make hibernation pods for like people who, why would you do that?" And he's like, "I don't know. Why are you on the, you know, why did you choose to go on the ship? You knew the risks when you got on board." He's like, "No, this isn't what I signed up for." He's like, "Tell me what you signed up for. When you were in the application process, did they not explain all the risks that might be involved with using one of our hibernation pots?" And Jim Carter, as Arthur has been referring to him, just kind of goes silent. He's like, "Yeah, they did. what do I do now? He's like, well, whatever you like. It's like, unfortunately, you'll be dead by the time we arrive at the planet. I won't be. I'm a robot. You will be, though. I want more sass from my robots, man. Yeah. K2, you know.
Rogue One.
Rogue One. Oh, so
yep.
He was the best thing about it.
He was.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you agreed with me the other day, you bastard.
What?
Maybe Gabe did. Anyway, he's like, you know, I can make you comfortable. He's like, how? He's like, well, all the facilities that are on board the ship. Because the idea is that the ship gets close to the homestead and then everyone wakes up to, like, finish the landing and obviously they can use the facilities. It's like, all the facilities on board are for you to use now. There's a library, there's a gym, there's a pool, you'll have a great time. And he's like, oh, all right then. And I was like, and I make a very good Tom Collins. He's like, I'll have three. So he pours him his Tom Collins's. And so they're talking to me. He's like, so what do you do? He's like, I'm here to care for all of you. I make sure that this doesn't happen. Jim's like, oh, yeah, thanks. That was really helpful. He's like, and I monitor and make sure that our ship's on course. You know, he's like, oh, well, can I talk to any of the crew? He's like, oh, no, the crew don't sleep on here. They sleep on the shuttle that tows the rest of the ship. Jim's like, can I contact the crew?
That's clever.
Because it's better than that. He's like,
yeah, because like in the film, who's actually steering the ship? Is it a thing that
autopilot.
He can't?
It's autopilot.
It's completely on autopilot.
But yep. The crew are like locked behind that giant.
But they're all asleep though, aren't
they're
they?
They're all asleep.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Why are the crew?
And also, yeah,
door?
Like if the ship is starting to have problems, why would they then not wake
yeah,
up?
Yeah, how could
some
they not
the foresee members?
Like, okay, what if there's a problem? We need to have like a crew that's awake.
Yeah,
even like you said before, it should be like a rotating crew. It's just yeah, it's stupid. It's dumb.
So he's like, well, then can I contact them? He's like, and I was like, you're not going to like this answer. It's like, of course I'm not. Of course I'm not. Why can't I contact the crew? He's like, well, unfortunately, the asteroid field that we went through that damaged your hibernation pod also damaged our communication array, and I haven't been able to repair it, and we won't be able to communicate with the crew much longer because they'll soon be disengaging. So what disengaging is like, did you pay attention to anything in the orientation video? He's like, there's lots of drinks and pretty women. It was a good party. He's like, yes, I do recall. You had a very good time at the party. He's like, the crew don't take us the whole way because they have to get the next crew. So they tow us to a point in space and then go back. So they're disengaging in like 2 months' time. We can't contact them. And Jim's like, yeah, all right. You say that. And then basically instead of kind of just like walking around, he spends like a large portion, instead of trying to get back in the hibernation pod, it's like him coming up with different ways to communicate with this shuttle. Mm-hmm. It's like agonizingly a few feet in front of him, but he can't actually get across it because it's like actually tethered. It's not, you can't walk into it.
Can you get the spacesuit?
Nah, because it's like a rope. It's like an energy beam. He can't walk across an energy beam. It's too far. He doesn't actually know anything about space because unlike this, he's not an engineer of any kind.
Do you need the spacesuit? So why can't you just remove that element from the film?
Yeah, there's no spacesuit.
Because what's the purpose? Like, why would they need them? So let's just get rid of them. He can't go on the spacesuit and go out there.
Yeah, right. I don't need spacesuits in my film.
Yeah, cool.
You know, it's all good. So he can't communicate with the crew and he just, it sort of goes on. And you basically, what I do is it'd be like a montage, a bit like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I don't know what song I want, but I want a song playing every time he wakes up and it's the same song. And I want it to be like a really happy, like optimistic song.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know that song? I can't remember what the film is, but I feel like I'm stealing it from something. That song, We're In For Stormy Weather. Like that song plays every morning when he gets up and he's just starting to get angry and he can't. More and more he's with Arthur. And Arthur's quite lovely and polite, but Arthur's a robot. And he's like, you know, I'm busy working on other things. But just, you know, pours him a drink and they kind of bond and whatever.
You know what I like about this is because it gives the story tension that the film doesn't actually have, and it puts a clock on it. Like instead of it being like, oh, I'm just going to have to live on this thing and I'll die, like, you know, within the next 90 years. Now it's like, I've got 2 months to figure out how to contact them or I'm fucked.
I want a moment of hope. So towards the end, as he's building up, he thinks he's actually got a way to do it.
Yep.
He's been tinkering around. Now, he's not an engineer, but he's good at fixing things, and he's kind of good with his hands and putting electronics together. And Arthur's giving him a bit of help because Arthur's like, well, I have nothing better to do because all the other people I have to care about are asleep. You're the most difficult person in my life and you're awake. And my theory is that if I help you communicate the shuttle, you'll stop annoying me and allow me to do my other jobs.
Yeah.
And you won't electrocute and kill yourself. Thereby, I'll be serving my function of making sure you're
He'd
safe.
He'd be fun too in those sense. He'd be like, don't put that there. You'll kill yourself and stuff like that. You know?
Correct. Yeah. He's like, I think I know what I'm doing. He's like, okay. And then he would just like, go to do it and think about it and then do what Arthur said. Anyway, he basically manages to patch into the communication array. And it's like he's trying to contact the crew and he's like yelling at them and like contact them. And they're like, hello, yep, who is – we can – and it's like cutting in and out. He's getting excited. He's like, is that mission – you know, he's like trying to – and he can hear sort of talking. And then it comes in and he's like, yes, and he starts talking back. And then he realizes that the radio chatter that he's hearing, he can hear but he can't talk. And the radio chatter is between – Andy Garcia, the captain, and mission control, and he's reporting that everything is good to go for the disengaging of the shuttle.
Yep.
And then Chris Pratt just sits there and watches as the shuttle disengages and turns around and flies past, and he watches it fly past.
That'll break my heart.
And he's just a broken man. He just sits down.
Music. Oh, and, you know, it's already a better film.
And as he's sitting there sad, Arthur comes in and just hands him a Tom Collins and walks away, and he doesn't even drink it. He just puts it on the ground, and he's just
despondent. Yeah.
And he basically spends the next few months just kind of doing what he does, where he's kind of wandering around, and he starts to read the other profiles of the people, not with any sort of purpose. He's just reading through them, and he's scrolling through them, and there's this person, and he gets to Aurora, but he just reads her like everybody else, and he scrolls through, and he just... The last one would be he wakes up one morning and the song starts to play and it just cuts out.
Yep.
And he just kind of sits up and looks at the clock, whatever he's got that's waking up, and he's like, oh, okay. And he goes over to the desk and you see him writing, and he's writing a suicide note. He's basically decided I'm gonna end it.
He's got the big Jesus beard.
Yeah, his beard and hair. He just looks like he's just fucked.
Yep.
Anyway, he comes out and he's sad and shitty and whatever, and he goes into the hibernation pod, puts the note in there because he wants them to see it. And then as he puts it down, he goes to walk out and he looks across and he sees that one of the other pods is open. He's like,
oh,
that's new. When did that happen? So he goes over and he has a look at it and he realizes that it's like malfunction, but not in the same way his has. It's like it's been triggered from the inside to like open after a certain period of time. He's like, there's a timer in it. It's like, why the fuck would someone put a timer in there? He's like, I don't ask Arthur. He's like, Arthur, I'm just looking for you. Da, 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 da. And he's looking around and then like he hears like the noises behind him. He's like, oh, fuck, there's something going on here. So he's like, okay, nice, it's fine. You're fine. Like, picks up like a wrench and he's like, all right. And he's like following the sounds because I don't know. I can't remember. Do the hibernations like leave like fluid or something? Let's say there's like wet footprints or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
So he's following that and he's like, all right. And it's kind of a tense scene where he's like moving through like the bowels of the ship and there's like something moving behind him and he turns around anyway, walks into a room and it's nothing there. Oh, that's... It's bullshit. I thought there was someone there. And there's like, everyone's got these little name tags on.
Yeah.
And he picks it up and he goes to pick it up. And just as he does, we just see a shadow limit behind him and smack him over the back of the head. Suddenly he wakes up and he's groggy and he's tied to a chair and he's like, what the fuck is happening here? And as he comes to, he kind of looks up and this sort of person who's in a vision and bang, it's Aurora. Jennifer Lawrence walks over and she looks pissed. And she like goes to hit him again. He's like, oh, look, whatever I did, I'm sorry. She's like, what? He's like, I assume that I've done something to upset you because that's normally what happens. Did I beat up your brother? Did I steal your car? I stole your car. I stole your car, didn't I? Did I steal your car? Did I spill your drink at the party? It was the party. I saw you at the party. I did something to you. You were greasing me the whole night at the party. I did something to you in a past life. I knew it. I'm sorry. And she's like, she just doesn't say anything. She's like, what's your name? He's like, Carter. She's like, bullshit. He's like, no, that's my name. She's like, your name is Carter Ramirez. He's like, see. Whack, she smacks him again. And she's like, just furious. She's like, and he's, as she smacks him, he sort of falls back in the chair and she writes him back up and he realizes they're in the airlock of one of the ships. And he's like, what are we doing here?
She's just like, the old... Dangle you in the airlock.
I will blow your lying ass out of the airlock if you don't start telling me the truth. And he's like, you wouldn't do that. Like, that's murder. You're not going to do that. We're both, you know, we both woke up early. You know, you're going to be by yourself for ages. You're not gonna do that to me. And as he's saying that, like trying to be all cocky, she just gets up and starts walking over to the airlock door. He's like, oh yeah, ooh, gonna blow me out the airlock. And then she seals the first door. He's like, oh, you're gonna blow me out of the airlock. And then she seals the second door. And he's like, ha, you wouldn't blow me out the airlock. And she flips up the panel where the airlock switch is, and she just puts her hand on it. And he's like, you wanna blow me out of the airlock because I know something you don't. And she's like, you have 3 seconds to tell me your name. He's like, it's Carter. She's like, you have 1 second to tell me your name. And he's like, my name's Aurora Lane. And she stops.
Yeah.
She's like, what? He's like, that's my name. I'm Aurora, and I like reading books, but not old books because I think they're stupid. I like horror and fantasy, and my brother put me up to this, and that's all I've got. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
She's like, how do you know all that? He's like, oh, I read about it. I got really bored. I've been awake 6 months. I read your file while I was here. And she's like, you've been away for 6 months and you've read a file. You haven't done anything else? He's like, well, I tried to contact with the shuttle, but they disengaged. And as soon as he says that, she just like cold, angry again.
Yeah.
She goes back to him and she's like, Jim Preston. My name's Jim Preston. And I'm so sorry. My name's not Carter Ramirez. I stole his ticket. I stole his pass. I paid a guy. I got on there. I just lifted it, gone, and I'm on the ship. Okay. I didn't think it was going to work. I thought they'd have checks and balances in place to make sure that Carter Ramirez would be on the ship and not Jim Preston. But apparently they don't have those kind of things. So I'm so sorry. This is literally, I'm a hustler. Like, that is it. I'm a hustler. I'm not a good guy. I'm a hustler. I didn't mean to do this.
How the fuck do they not have checks?
Why wouldn't they have checks, Sean? Mm. Don't know. Okay. Maybe I'll be explaining the pitch. Stop asking questions, you'll get answers to.
Okay.
Thanks.
Welcome, carry on.
And she stops. She's like, you stole his ticket. Yep, I stole his whole identity. It was a bit of cheeky identity. She's like, you're Jim Preston, con man. You're not Carter Ramirez. No, I'm just a guy. And she's just like, fucking hell. She goes over and she unties him and she just starts to leave. He's like, where are we going? She's like, I'm going to get a drink. It's like, oh, you can meet Arthur. Arthur's my friend. And he's a confident, showy guy again. He's like, oh, I have to ask, like, you're that's why you were greasing me at the party. It's because you knew that I wasn't who I said I was. She's like, no, people were calling you Carter. And I was like, there's no way you're Carter Ramirez. You're fucking some other guy. He's like, how did they not realize that I wasn't, like, I'm amazed I got away with this. How did they not do any checks and balances? Like, surely they care about, who's going on board this ship. She's like, yeah, you'd think that, wouldn't you? She just walks off into the bar and he's like, okay. Anyway, he walks in and he's trying to be like charming and friendly and, he pours out, goes into Arthur. He's like, all right, I've got this. He's like, yeah, look, hey. And Arthur's like, hello, Mr. Preston. He's like, yeah. He's like, or do you prefer Jim? I've been talking to your friend here. She's been telling me all about you and how you are not Carter Ramirez. And he's like, yep, yeah. And she's got two drinks in front of her. So he comes over to take one and she just puts both hands on and slides them across to her. He's like, yeah, okay. And he goes, oh, I'll have a Tom Collins. And he goes to sit next to her and she gets up and moves to the other end of the bar and sits down. He's like, all right, yeah, okay, this is awkward. It's like, Arthur. It's like, yes, Jim, I'm sorry I lied to you. It's like, it's okay. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a robot. You don't feel upset about being lied to. It happens all the time. It's like, oh, so I think we're stuck on this ship for like 80 years, 88 years, 3 weeks and 4 days to be exact. Right, yep, good, thanks. And she hates me. Can you help me so she won't hate me? He's like, well, first of all, you look like a homeless man. Good. So he goes off, makes himself look nice, comes back in.
I feel like Jim would be like whispering to Arthur and Arthur would just be talking loudly. Yeah.
It's like, come on, Arthur. He's like, come on, Arthur. I didn't understand. You were asking me how you should impress this young lady.
Yeah, I'd be like, because she's really hot. She is really hot, yes.
She is quite attractive, and attractive people like other attractive people. Yeah, okay, yep, no, good, yep, thanks, Arthur. Anyway, so he's kind of brushed himself up. He goes in and basically it's this whole scene where he's trying to charm this girl and it's just not working and he's sort of sitting there and as he's trying to talk to her, Arthur's just like hanging around.
Yeah, cool.
And anytime she starts giving him like one word answers, like she starts like kind of giving him bits and pieces and he's like, okay. Anyway, and we kind of get a little bit of a montage where like over a couple of days, he goes out and does something. He goes looking for her. She'll be in the gym. He joins her in the gym. She goes off somewhere else. And he goes somewhere else with her. And it always ends in the bar. She's drinking drinks. He tries to sit next to her. And Arthur comes and sort of hovers around. She just doesn't want to bar him.
Tom, do you think there'd be like a level of curiosity from her, though, where she would be like, you've been here for 6 months. Did you figure out why you woke up early? How did it happen? Have you done anything to try and like figure this out?
We'll get to that. Okay. Every time they sit down, they start moving from there. They start having dinner, sitting at a table. And he asks the question, it's like, so what did you do before you woke up? And she'll start trying to talk to him and he wants to know about more about Carter Ramirez. Did you know him? And anytime she starts to talk about, he's trying to put the moves on and Arthur's just kind of like, how are you doing? I'm really good. And she just won't say anything and she'll kick him and annoy him. And he's like, oh, whatever. And he's like, it's like, they've been on, maybe it's been like a couple of months now. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to just try and put my moves on, the best moves ever. It's like, Arthur, would you... don't some people need some checking in the hibernation pod? Arthur, they need checking? No, I just checked them. Cool. What about that other room that's really interesting? No rooms interest me. I am a robot. Yep, cool. Gotcha. Do you want to just, like, maybe give us a bit of space? He's like, oh, yes, of course. If you do practice safe sex, this is not a good place to raise a child. And just leaves. And he's like, oh, Arthur, right? Okay. Actually, I want to have a joke where he's like, okay, yeah, cool. Bye, Art. And as he's leaving, he's like, I do not like it when you call me that. Anyway, he leaves. He's like, all right. Now, he's gone. Will you tell me what the fuck is going on? Why did you wake up? Why are you always wandering around places that you shouldn't leave? I see you coming out of rooms. You're up to something. What is it? And she's like, you know, and when we talk, can you just stop kicking me under the table? I will kick you under the table as much as I like, you lying piece of shit. I can't believe you stole someone else's ticket to get on their ship. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's a great opportunity. I took it and ran. There was some bad people after me. So I came on here because it was the safest option. And she just laughs.
Yep.
The safest option. Do you know what's funny? There are people on here who applied thinking it was a good idea. You stole your way on to a death trap. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, I stole my way out. This is the second chance. I mean, I'm in space. Hang on. Did you say death trap? She's like, are you really that stupid? He's like, yes, I am. I stole a man's name and pretended to be someone who is Hispanic, and I am not Hispanic at all. I don't even know Mexican. C was a stab in the dark. She's like, this company who run this program, the Homestead 2, we're not going to make it to the Homestead 2. Like, that's not part of the plan. There's no crew on this ship. It's like, yeah, no, they were towing the ship. It's like, there are no crew. There's one med bay. There's barely anything on this ship to help us function. There is a bartender and a robot, like a robot who's a bartender and a guy who checks charts. He can't do anything. If someone needed major surgery on board, there'd be nothing to help them. Nothing on this ship is supposed to last for 90 years. It's like, I don't know, understand it. Basically, she explains that the program that they bought into isn't as altruistic as they thought, because the bad criminals were never going to be able to go into space. What are the people who aren't bad, but they just do dumb shit all the time? And no matter how hard they try, they just keep sliding back into stealing cars, or maybe they sell drugs, or maybe they do a couple of bad things, but they're not the worst of the worst, but they're still a nuisance. And if you had the opportunity to start a new colony in space, wouldn't it be better if they weren't there? Wouldn't it be better if we could just get rid of them? And maybe we're not starting a new colony. We're just going to rebuild the Earth as it is.
So they're just kind of shipping them off to nowhere.
Yeah. Now, I'm dealing within the world. I have to put them on the ship, mm-hmm. right? It's a really expensive way to get rid of petty criminals, but we'll talk about the logistics of that later.
But I guess it's kind of to, like, if family or whatever, to assure them that, oh, okay, well, they can't join me here on Earth, but they're going to have a new life somewhere else.
And then a tragic accident's going to happen to them while they're out in space. Isn't that awful? So it's like weeding out the bad people.
Okay.
Okay, so why is Aurora on here then?
And Chris Pratt's like, oh, that's really, really bullshit. Like, they're not going to do that. Like, okay, do you want to know the people on this ship? They're not all bad. And he starts listing off all these people, and he's like,
cool.
Every time he gets to a reason, he's like, oh, yeah, that person probably is bad. He's like, and I got on this ship. He's like, all right, what are you doing on this ship then, huh? What's your reason for being on this ship? And she's like, this ship is my second chance. It's like, you just told me we're all going to die, you idiot. It's not your second chance. She's like, no, saving the people on this ship is my second chance.
Oh,
he's like,
nice.
Okay. All right.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's, I've got the feeling a bit here. So he's like, but how do you know that all of this is happening? And maybe through the explanation, she tells like a story that's not related, but it's kind of about being humiliated as a teenager because like some people want you to be friends with them. And she's like, have you ever had like when you're at school or something and it's just too good to be true? And that's because it is. This whole ship, because he's still in denial, because like that's a big thing to try to convince someone of. He's like, no. She's like, just think about it. Think about the time that something was too good to be true and you were lied to. And then when you've thought about that, come and talk to me later because I'm going to need your help because you may not be Carter Ramirez, but.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
You're all I've got. He's like, yeah, no, get fucked. This is fucked up. I'm going to go. I'm out of here. So he goes off and he's kind of stewing his own thing. He's like just trying to process all the information. And we see him, he goes in and he's going through the video files, just looking for the hope that maybe someone in there isn't a bad guy, so that potentially this plot to just exterminate prisoners on the way to this other planet aren't going to do that. And he's like going through it. And he gets to him and it's like, you know, tell us about, you know, your happiest memory. They do that in the interview process. And it's the same interview, but it's with a person that you don't see on camera. And he's not talking about the party, but he's talking about the story that he started telling Arthur at the start. About the car. He's like, yeah, no, my happiest memory was my mum's birthday. I was 18, 19, and we saved up and we bought her a brand new car from a friend of ours. And it was the car that she wanted. It was a dream car, and she was so happy. And I'll never forget how happy she was. And he's kind of getting a bit, like, worked up. And you see kind of Jim sitting there watching it. And then as the story unfolds, you learn that he didn't realize it, but the buddy that he was with had stolen the car, and that he'd given this money to a stolen car. And he's like, and it was heartbreaking when 3 days later the police arrived at our house and took the car off my mum, and she just wouldn't look me in the eye because she's like, you stole this. And I, you know, I'd been a bad kid, but I decided I was going to be a good kid, and I'd worked really hard at this shitty hardware store to get this car for my mum, and it was stolen. And she was like, you're exactly the same as you've always been. So that's my happiest memory, and also why I deserve a second chance. And he's like, and you hear this voice, you know, why do you deserve a second chance? He's like, because it wasn't my fault, because someone told me that this car was the real thing and I got sucked in and it wasn't. And Jim's like, yeah, because something seems too good to be true. Then they, God damn it. Like, he's like, duh, this is so annoying. I have to do something. So he goes back to her and he's like, she's in reading plans or schematics or something in one of the many, many weird rooms on that ship that overlook like planets. And, oh, it's so pretty. So we can get some of that budget in. He sits down and he's like, all right, who was Carter Ramirez? Whose ticket did I steal? And she basically then explains the plan, that what they're going to do is the ship is designed to fail. There is a flaw in the ship, just as there is, you know, like a flaw in the Death Star, something like that. They have to work out what that flaw is. It's got to look like an accident so that when they do the reports to say that these people lost their lives, it's going to look like a horrific accident, blah, blah, blah. And that both of them were set to timers to wake up so that, you know, they could find the plan. She goes, the reason we're woken up 6 months apart is because Ramirez's job as an engineer was to wake up, get his way into the shuttle in the first few months before the tether got too long, take over the shuttle so that we had an escape route once we'd saved everyone's lives. She was like, oh, we don't have that anymore. And she's like, yes, that's correct. So now what you're going to do with me, instead of just doing nothing, is you're going to help me find this thing and we're going to fix it. We're going to fix this ship so that it doesn't break.
So like, she never met Carter before?
No. It's kind of like a spy thing. They never met. They're just going to be on this ship, Carter and...
So do they work for other people?
I think they were worked like someone hired them to do it. He's like, yeah. Do you want a second chance? It's a really dangerous mission.
And he's like, your job's this.
They kind of got suicide squatted, but in a better way than the film is.
Yeah, so yeah, why is Aurora willing to do this?
We might find out as the story progresses. Okay. So they're kind of talking about what they're going to try to come up with and go through. A plan is, and this is this only line that I wanted to put in, where she's like, you know, so you're going to help me because, you know, Ramirez was going to drive us out of here. I was going to fix this, but roles have changed. I'm now in charge and you're a passenger, so be a useful one. He's like, cool, that's the name of the film in the film, Tom. Anyway.
That's going in the trailer.
Yeah.
So.
Can I ask you, Tom?
Yep.
Why was Jim Preston's video on the file?
Because he doesn't say he's Jim. He pretends he's Carter Ramirez. But he's honest.
No, but. The video that he went in there and watched
he has to go in for
was
like,
his memory, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
Carter's memory.
So the idea is that he steals the application pass.
Yeah.
He still goes in for an interview.
But they just think he's Carter.
But they think he's Carter. They're
but like, then he didn't get in. So then by that logic, every single person who went in for the application process.
No, he never applied. This is confused. Maybe I've confused you. So he didn't apply. He stole
Jim didn't apply?
Jim never applied.
But then what video is he watching?
He's watching the video of him, like a pre-induction interview before they put him on the ship.
Gotcha.
So, like, he's stolen it at stage
cool.
one.
Sorry, yeah, I got
And he's coming at stage two and then stage three.
Sick. Awesome.
So he's pretending to be Carter, but as a good con man will tell you, you've got to have truth to your lies so that, you know, it's not all bullshit. So anyway, she's like, okay, so basically working on the schematics we had 6 months from when I woke up. Because you're an imbecile, we now have four. And you had 6 months to try to fix a communication array to communicate with the shuttle, as you've described, and you barely got that to work. He's like, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
These characters are so much better for the actors playing them.
Yeah,
well.
That was my other problem with the film, was that Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence are really funny people, but the film like hardly used them.
What you're doing is much better suited to their strengths as actors, I think.
Yeah, he's a con artist larrikin and she's a no-bullshit space woman.
Perfect.
So he's trying to explain that the reason the comms were down, he's like, but like, I tried to radio the ship. I could have just radioed the shuttle and they would have been like, oh, you're fine. Because that would have like, you know, what? We hit an asteroid field. That's why I wasn't able to radio them. And she's like, oh, we hit an asteroid field, did we? He's like, yes, we didn't hit an asteroid field. She's like, watch the video of the asteroid field we went through. There's no asteroid field. He's like, so, you know, the comms were designed to break. They were probably not functional in the first place. I'm actually kind of impressed that you got a pair of comms that weren't supposed to work to be able to receive information. Well done, guy. You're actually kind of talented. Maybe that's a tip of the hat to show that he is kind of good.
Good.
Anyway.
So Arthur's a bit of a piece of shit then.
Well, I think Arthur's
Arthur
a robot.
Yeah.
Didn't Arthur say to him that they were damaged in the asteroid field?
Probably because that's what he'd been told as well.
Oh, very good.
Because he's a robot, man. Just... He doesn't know the narrative, but he goes and plugs himself in every night.
Very good.
They probably put That's things cool. in his head, like Kevin Spacey in Moon. There'd be also some, I feel like there'd be, at some point during this sort of process, you'd kind of have a montage now of them like trying to set a ship together, their relationships developing, their banter's kind of nice. And there'd be some piece of evidence that she'd be able to show him to like definitively prove it, which would be like a recording of the previous ship that went out before them.
Cool.
Never arrived, all that kind of stuff, or that Homestead 2 is
blowing up or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just something like that. Mm-hmm. Through this whole thing, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get out of here and find
She
it.
Should point out, too, like that there's no children or anything in the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're really going to build a new world, then you take, like, people of all different ages.
But there's second chance. Like, what kids, how terrible are
these
kids?
Yeah, no, but even like
there?
Teenagers and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, there'd be like some 16-year-olds on there.
Oh, would there be? Cool.
Because I think that would be interesting if Jim started going through all the people and was like, there's like 15-year-old kids on this ship.
Yeah.
He's like, she's like, yep.
And it's like, what did they do to justify getting blown up in space?
It's like,
I stole a car one day or something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just completely.
Well, no,
I think parents have given permission.
The parents have given permission because the parents think it's a second chance. And then it's the engine failed. It was a catastrophic engine failure.
So fucked.
Sorry, guys. He's kind of going through all these, these processes and and basically you build their relationship, you build them exploring what they're doing, cool. You go through the process of elimination of what it could be. I don't really care what it is. It's not relevant. It could be, it's not what it is in the film because that's stupid.
Yep.
So it's something like there's like a bomb or just a faulty bit of wiring and they've just got to get in some way dangerous and fix it. And it's basically like heist prep, heist success because it's like, at the same time as Arthur's not necessarily working against them, he's also a robot who's working for the company, so he can't know what they're up to.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like they pretend to be, like, having sexcapades in really difficult and weird spots. And then like, oh, we're just learning the guitar because I've got lots of time and I want to learn the, like, just those kind of things. And Arthur's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And eventually they would succeed in whatever hot thing they had to pull off, and they would repair it. And it would be this kind of nice moment. They repair it and maybe he kisses her. And you get like a moment of, oh, that's kind of nice. And she's like, oh yeah, that was good. Don't kiss me again though. Like she kisses, maybe it's like that kind of nice moment of like they kiss one another. She kind of goes with the kiss and then she's like, no, slaps him. Yeah. He's like, oh yep, nah. I just thought, you know, because of the moment we saved everybody, that would be an okay. And she's just walking. He's like, yeah, not an okay thing to do. Okay. Maybe the next heist we can, there's not going to be another one.
Damn it.
I got like 75 years. I've got this.
Yeah.
They succeed and they kind of have like a nice couple of days where they're just going through life normally, because that's what happens now. They just start to kind of coexist and they start to open up. And I think you'd have like a nice thing where he kind of realizes that she's actually all right and he's got to stop being this like fake guy. And one day she's like maybe reading a book and he comes in and he's like dressed up really nice. He's like, do you want to come have dinner with me? She's like, you're a blah, 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 like a lying con man. He's like, yeah, no, that's what I've done. But I figure I've got, what, 70 years to tell the truth. So
yep,
you're the only person I can tell it to. So this is my second chance. And she's like, okay. So she puts on like a nice thing. And you have that bit from the trailer, which I thought was really great. She's like, we're on a date. And the robot's like, hey, yes, you are. Anyway, they have a nice moment and through drinks and sort of dinner. And they kind of end up dancing together. And it's a really nice night that they have. And at this point, I think they'd be just talking about, you know, more about the second chance. And maybe Jim tells the stories of like the things that he's done. He's like, yeah, no, these are some things that I've done. He's like, I've done some good things. And it's just like, she's enjoying it. And he's like, what did you do? You know, what's your thing? And she's like, oh, look, I don't do that. Sorry.
Okay.
We're getting close. He's like, no, just come on. Like, it can't be that bad. And she's like walking away. She's kind of done with it. And he's like, he kind of gets angry. And he's like, no, like, it can't be that bad. Like, What terrible thing did you do where you would volunteer for this mission where there was a high chance you would die, not make it home, and save a bunch of strangers who are all pieces of shit like me? Like, what could be so bad that... And she's like, I killed a bunch of kids.
Whoa.
And he's like, that's pretty bad.
Oh.
He's like, you're a murderer? She's like, no, I was a cop.
Okay.
She's mm-hmm. like, he's like, okay. She's like, that's why I'm good at, he's like, that's why I'm good at handcuffs. And basically you learn that her backstory is that she was a cop or some sort of enforcement agency and she was a drinker. She was an alcoholic. That's why she's able to smash the Tom Collinses down.
Yep.
And she's like, and I used to go out and do stuff on the job drunk and my partner was a pussy and he wouldn't call me out on stuff. So I just kept drinking and being me. And then one day we had a guy who had a gun and a school bus full of kids and he wasn't getting off the bus and I rocked up there and I was drunk and through some sort of series of events, the bus like was like moving.
Yeah.
There was an accident and I kicked the guy off and I took control of the bus. Chris Pratt's like, that's really awesome. It's like some speed two shit, but on a bus instead of a boat. And she's like, but...
What is it just like normal speed? Yeah.
I stole that quote from The Simpsons when he's in Milhouse. Like, this is like speed two, but it's on a bus instead of a boat. Yeah. Anyway, so just to kill the tension. So basically she's like...
Sorry, man. So she stole the bus.
I arrested the guy, kicked him off, and I drove the bus, and all I had to do was just drive it back.
Oh, Tom.
But I'd been drinking a lot that day, and I couldn't control such a big bus, and we flipped, and the bus exploded, and I got to live.
Fucking hell.
And Jim's like... That's not your fault, though. And she's like, isn't it? And he's like, no, that's not your fault because, like, you saved these kids' lives and you made a mistake. Like, yes, it was a costly mistake. And if we're going to weigh up mistakes, I've done terrible things too. You've done really bad things too. But the idea of this second chance, and it's you know, you don't have to be what you've done in the past anymore. Your actions aren't who you are. You just saved an entire crew of people that you don't matter, like, you don't know anymore. You're not a bad person. And she's like, you know, that's debatable.
She's a kids, piece of shit. She's fucking garbage, Tom.
Oh, heartless. Sure.
So no. So she stops the bad guy.
Yep.
And then instead of like just being like, all right, we'll wait for backup to come and we'll control the situation. She's like, you know what, kids? I don't want you to be late. I'm going to drive you home. I'm fucking hammered right now, but I'm going to drive you home anyway. And then she kills the ball. Yep. Like,
well, not like that. I feel like the bus is moving and she manages to get on the bus and she like throws him out.
Okay, that's good.
And then she has to take over control of the bus because she's drunk.
Now she's less of a piece of shit.
I thought it was like she stopped and was like, well, we're on the clock, so
you've got to get there for third period math. And when that's happening, so she just, I'm a bad person. Yeah, no, that's and she good. Starts to walk away.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, did any of them live? And she stops and she's like, three?
Yep.
And she's like, he's like, there you go. Three of them lived. And she's like, yeah, but that's not like, he's like, no, it's that other guy. And he sounds like an asshole, by the way. But if that other guy had have gone away with it, they'd all be dead. You saved three people's lives. Focus on that rather than the bad quality, whatever. They kind of have a nice moment. And maybe that's the thing where they don't like kiss or love. It's just like a nice moment of...
But it's the emotional connection. Yeah,
she kind of looks at him and realizes that there is more to Jim Preston, con man, than she first thought. And she's like, you're not a bad guy either, Jim. It's like, oh, I am, but thanks for saying that. And they kind of sit there and have a nice, and they're just looking at the stars, maybe.
Nice.
She like leans into him and he like pours her a
little shooting star.
Oh, oh my God. Oh.
I don't know if he'd pour her a drink.
No. I was thinking, he goes to like pour a drink and he just takes the drink out of her hands and gets the bottle and he just like pours it out like onto the grass. And he's like, we don't need to have them. And she's like, thank you. And like nestles into him. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then it's like, the one. And then all of a sudden,
cool,
we're in a church.
Okay.
And it's like kind of
in space?
Scary outside. It's like an old church in like a small country town because we can hear sort of noises and yelling outside. And and they just hear this like panicked person talking over and over again. And forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. And like from the confession box. And we kind of move towards the confession box. And then we come into the perspective and we can't see this person's face. They're in shadow and they're just saying over and over again, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. It's not my fault. And you can hear like screams outside, like, people are like going bananas outside, like something awful happening outside. And then you see a shadow go in and sit down on the other side. And you just hear Arthur's voice. Confess your sins.
Oh, what the fuck?
And we see this person lean back and it's this guy, Gus, Lawrence Fishburne's character.
Oh.
I've done a terrible thing. I've done a terrible thing. I thought I was doing the right thing because I thought that's what God wanted, but that's not what God wanted. And now they're going to come and they're going to kill me. They're going to do awful things to me. I was just trying to help. I was just trying to help. I was trying to do what God, and you can see he's not like a well man. He's not all there. And Arthur the priest robot says, what did you do? He's like, They came to me and I was gonna just show them, you know, they don't understand the Bible. You have to be in the water. And so I put them in the water because that's what God wanted me to do. I had to put them in the water and then they're in the water too long, and then I put them in the water too long, and now people are coming after me and they're gonna hurt me. I just put them in the water so that they could be baptized, and they're in there too long. I was like, shh, it's okay. It's Gus, right? Yeah. Is that short for Augustus? Yeah. St. Augustus. Yeah. That's a lovely name, Gus. It's just this really calm, nice talking. He's like, Gus, would you like me to absolve you of your sins? He's like, yes. Yes, yes. That's all I want. That's all I want. He's like, there is a way for you to do this, Gus. What if I told you there were lots of very bad people and you could make them go away and God would be happy if you made the bad people go away? That would balance it out for making those good people go away. Gus is like, yes, yep. What do I have to do? Because the devil is in these people, Gus, and they don't understand. Have you read the story of Noah's Ark, Gus? He's like, yeah. I know Noah's Ark. Yeah, and he's calming down now. It's like, what if I told you that the Ark wasn't full of animals, but it was full of bad men, and that the real story of Noah's Ark was that the storm was supposed to wash away the ship. And Gus is kind of like quiet. It's like, Gus, if you want to absolve your sins, you need to be my storm. Gus wakes up in hibernation pod. So meanwhile, such a nice night in the other part of the ship. We just jump ahead like the next day, couple of days. nothing's out of the ordinary. Maybe she's running on the treadmill and he's doing some weights somewhere. And then there's like, it's like a weird like alert of some kind. I don't know. Maybe one of the engines. Maybe some of the lights just start to fail. And like, that's weird. And then as they're walking to fix the engines, you get that really cool gravity turning off.
Cool.
See? Oh, yeah. So the gravity fails. Boom. Shit. We're now floating around. What's happening with the gravity? It's broken. Shit. We need to. So they start scrambling through and they go looking. Basically, it'd be this thing of where it's high stakes, lots of shit are flying in their face. Eventually get to the room. Bang. Arthur comes in. He's helping them out because he's a good guy.
Lol jokes.
Oh, no. What are we going to do, Arthur? He's like, oh, da, da, da. So they fix the gravity and the gravity, you know, rights itself again. And as it rights itself, we see this, but they don't see this. And as the ship rights itself, we just see this like figure of Lawrence Fishburne watching them through the doorway. The ship rides itself and he just disappears. Like, that was really weird. What made the gravity fail? And they start running for the diagnostics and they can't work it out. Just a system failure. And it would basically be, you'd have maybe one more event like that where something really bad happens.
Yeah.
Like the swimming pool scene.
Maybe the swimming pool scene is the gravity scene. Maybe they're in the pool.
Okay. Yeah, just do one gravity and maybe something else.
Yeah, so something else. So like suddenly it's just, there's this like warning coming on and like they're, like Chris Pratt's like running on the treadmill. Jim running on the treadmill. He's like, whew, man, this is, I thought I was getting like better at this, but I'm really not. I'm out of breath and I can't, you know. And then Arthur's like standing there holding a towel. It's like, how am I going, Arthur? Like, I'm not doing so well. He's like, no, you are not. Unfortunately, and I don't know why, but the oxygen levels in this room have gone down 30%. He's like, that's bad. And it would be like the oxygen starts to leak out. And at this point, they would kind of discover that when they solve the oxygen, that it's been like forcibly hacked. So they go in there to like start repairing it. And she's like, maybe Aurora's like, I'm going to read the schematics because you can't read a schematic. I'll tell you how to fix it.
Yeah.
He's like, just do it really quick because I'm really out of breath. So she's reading in the schematic and he's trying to repair it. And he's like, okay, so what do I do now? Like, I've got the next bit hooked up, you know. All right, the oxygen's back. Yeah, now we can breathe again. What do I do now? And just silence.
Yep.
He's like, Aurora, if you fainted because of oxygen or at my amazing skills at repairing the oxygen, I am okay with this. All right, this is scary. We're in space. Aurora. And then you just hear another voice come over the top. Forgive me for what I must do.
Oh, man.
It's like, whoa, that's not Arthur. That's not Aurora. That's someone really scary. That's, who the fuck is that? It's like, I am the storm. And so you then basically have this sequence where Chris Pratt's like frantically trying to find what's going on. Comes into a room where we're basically in like some control room. Aurora's like kind of knocked out on the floor and there's Gus at the controls of the ship just turning the ship towards like a fucking big star explosion.
Yep, quite sure.
Just going to fly it into a, you know, fly it into the thing. And he's like, why are you doing all this? You know, what? Who the fuck are you? And basically this kind of confrontation scene, which is kind of great. And they'd start fighting. Like, so they'd be like, oh, you're fighting, doing lots of cool shit, fighting lots of da-da-da-da-da. As he's trying to, like, fuck a ship up and do terrible things to it. And they basically, as Chris Pratt is, like, being choked to death, and Gus is like, I'm so sorry, I'm just doing it because this is what I was told to do because the voice spoke to, God spoke to me. And so he's kind of this religious nutter kind of thing. And because he's not a, that's the thing, he's not a, I couldn't put a straight-up psychopath on board because that would make sense. He's not a bad guy. He accidentally drowned some kids and, like, he's a little bit simple in the head and everyone in the town hates him, so he's
but he thinks he's doing the right.
Well, because he was told to do this by the priest in the church in his dream that said that God will forgive you if you blow this whole arc up.
Which is dream.
Because how was he in a real church? Come on, guys.
That wasn't a flashback.
No, sorry.
So it's in a dream. Okay, I thought it was a flashback.
You know when they're in hibernation?
I assumed that the company were like, we're going to send all the bad guys up there and something needs to go wrong. You're the guy we're going to recruit. You're going to wake up, you know, at a certain point.
No, yeah, okay, so this was purely because you have the party scene that happens in Chris Pratt's head. Maybe you get an example where Arthur like has him at high school for like the first time he had sex.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, no, this was terrible. No. And they jump back out of it again. He's like, all right, what would you like your memory to be while you're flying? So Arthur goes into this guy's memory and tells him that and he's kill everybody. So you'd basically have this big fight scene. And in the end, as Chris Pratt's like dying, bang, Aurora just comes up and smashes the back of Gus's head and he hits the ground. I'm like, what the fuck are we going to do with him?
Yep.
It's like, he tried to kill us. And she's like, we have to get rid of him. And because Jim's like, no, we're not going to put him out the airlock because you and I aren't murderers. You've killed people for the last time. I don't kill people. We'll have to come up with something else. And she's like, the med pod. And it's like, what? He's like, put him in the med pod and just turn the hibernation off indefinitely. And we'll just sleep forever. And that's it.
Okay. Yep.
So like, okay. So they put him in a med pod and seal him up. And as they're like, and this would be just straight up ripping off another great sci-fi film. As they're putting him in there, literally this voice behind them. And she's like, I'm afraid I can't let you do that. And they turn around and there's Arthur. And he's standing there and he's like, if you don't step away from that med pod, there are five people on board this ship who all have similar brain patterns to our friend Gus here. I could tell them all that you were murderers trying to kill everybody. And I mean, because this is the second chance, they try to redeem themselves. I'm going to have to ask you to step away. I don't know how it would happen, but again, it would be this final confrontation between Jim and Aurora and Arthur. And Arthur's a robot, so he like owns the shit out of them, and they're in a med bay, so there's like scalpels. Someone would get stabbed, probably fatally, Jim.
Oh.
Aurora's kind of fighting them off, you know, trying to like defeat him, and Arthur would be saying some awful things to her. He's like, you know, why don't I fix you another drink, that kind of thing, or you deserve to die because you killed all those people on that bus. And just being a real, I'm the company man, this is what we do. And she's like, we're not, you know, you're not going to get away with this. And he's like, but we already have. You aren't the only ship. There are plenty others.
Yeah,
okay. Well done. You've saved a ship of people. And at this point, fatally wounded, Chris Pratt would get up and like stab the scalpel through the robot's neck, and he kind of like fizzles out and dies. Yep. And as he's dying, Chris Pratt would be like, yes, but in the same way that he said, yes, but you saved three, he'd be like, yes, but we saved 3,000.
Yeah.
Like, we saved these people, and that's better than letting everyone die.
Yeah, that's cool.
And Arthur would just slowly like, Chris Pratt's like, huh. He always annoyed me. Oh, actually, no, I'm bleeding really bad and dying. And so they're kind of like lying there, and she's like, "What do we do? Like, what do I do? We have to." He's like, "You can't put me in the med pod because you've got to leave Lawrence Fishburne in the med pod because if he wakes up again, he would do awful things. So just leave him in there. I don't want you putting him out the airlock." He's like, "And look, if I'm honest, I would have got so bored, like 70 years, and look." You really don't like me that much. Like that kind of thing. So, and it'd be like, you know, she gives him a kiss and he dies.
All right.
She doesn't revive him like she does in the film.
Okay.
Or would you like her to revive him, Sean?
Get Laurie out of the fucking med pod.
No.
He's knocked out. Put Jim in there. Fix the wound up.
No. Sorry.
What's your ending? All right.
Because something would happen where basically the med pod in the fight with Arthur would become damaged.
Okay, sure. Yep.
Anyway. And Lawrence Fishburne's just in there, so... So Jennifer Lawrence is just like on this ship by herself with this dead body. And so she just starts to write, because the whole thing was that she was a writer. So she writes this whole thing, and she's on there by herself, and she actually kind of enjoys the solitude because she spent so long with like the trauma and the memories of, so it's basically, she becomes like a Buddhist monk.
Okay.
She stops drinking. She has this, you don't see all this. Maybe she's just kind of writing, and she's like buried Jim somewhere in that weird garden that they're able to grow. Don't get me started on that. Eventually what you would cut to the same thing where the ship actually, they all wake up, and there's a recording of a very old, ageified Jennifer Lawrence. And they're like, oh, what's this? And it's like, you know, play me. It's like, we're going to be arriving on the planet soon, and we're not supposed to arrive on the planet. So we've got enough stuff on this ship to be able to survive for the next few years before the actual homesteaders come. And the company will deny that this happened because they can't admit that, and we've got no proof of it because no one's going to believe me, and Arthur's dead, and all this, basically all this kind of stuff. And they're like, you know, you've just got to go out there and make a new life and take the second chance that you're given, because there's a great man who died on this ship who was given a second chance, even though he didn't realize it, and he took it.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you do that too. And so they all walk off the ship, and people are like helping one another out of hibernation pods, and it's like, oh, nice, and they go off the ship, and it's like, ah, new dawn, yay, that's happy. Except because this film's set in the Black Mirror universe, there's a sting. Whereas they're like getting equipment out, someone walks over to the hibernation pod, is like, oh, maybe they don't land on the planet. They're still just traveling for the last 2 years, but they're all conscious to maintain.
Sure.
Right.
It's like, oh, we need a med pad. There's someone in here. Oh, my God, there's someone in here. And you just see, like, the lights sort of come on and da-da-da-da-da. And you don't see him wake up, but you just see the pod just start to open. And then there's credits.
Fuck, you make me sad.
Welcome to Passengers, a thriller in space like it should have been.
That's a good sting. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So I killed Jim. He's dead. And Lawrence Fishburne is evil and still alive.
So, all right.
Also, I want to clarify.
Yeah.
Premise is really rocky because the premise to start with is really odd.
Yes.
So I just was like, I've got to keep it in universe that I'm on the ship. Yeah. So within the rules of the story, they have to be on the ship for a reason.
If this ship is always intended to blow up or malfunction and they're not supposed to get there, why are the coordinates even set? Like, why? Like, that's what I was wondering. So you got to a certain point in the thing where they kind of saved the day and, oh, we've saved everybody's life and all that. But to my mind, I was like, but isn't the ship just going to float in space until it eventually...
Well, I think the idea is that maybe they chart the coordinates themselves.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. So what was...
I don't know what it would be. Like, that's what I mean. So, like, I know I was restricted in the...
By what they were already doing.
So I changed a lot of it, but I kept the premise of it. They had to be going somewhere. So maybe for the sake of the... To basically for plausible deniability, they had to have the route.
Yeah, for the log.
For the log, yep. So they could actually check, like, the space black box.
I really love... I'd kind of love it if it wasn't Gus's dream and if that was a flashback to before he got on the ship and if there are a bunch of robotic Arthurs who are like company men.
Well,
he went there and because when you did it, my read was that the company want to blow the ship up, so they'll just recruit him to do it. We're going to set a timer. Gus, you're going to wake up. It's your job to, regain your faith and everything. You've just got to get rid of the bad people and that'd be his thing. Otherwise, you need to make more of the dream aspect.
Well, that's an easy fix. Where at the start, with Chris Pratt's being interviewed, he's just shown a lot of dreams, and he's like, "No,
it needs to be like a warning or something. Like, you need to be honest with us during this process and tell us like a happy. It needs to be like side effects or something. Yeah. Something happened with Gus, and so his one got kind of like twisted and fucked up.
What I probably didn't explain in my head, it was that Arthur makes that dream happen for Gus. Like he builds that whole memory around for him. So it would be that you can have any dream you want, but Arthur's in charge.
Yep.
And the idea that I had where it was actually he was recruited on the ship is that it shows that Arthur is running the ship.
Great.
So that you get that whole thing where he builds this great relationship with Art and then to discover that Art is a piece of shit. Kind of like what happens with Aurora and Jim in the actual film.
Yeah.
You know,
that, for me, that just needs to be a little bit clearer just for idiots like me.
Yeah.
But that works. That's really cool.
And so with the original Carter, what was, I don't know if you would have fleshed that out, but. What was because like, Chris Pratt or he kind of steals his redemption, steals Carter's redemption. I'm guessing if Carter had a similar kind of, he wanted to fix what he'd done, and then he doesn't get to.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he does because the mission's a success even without Carter. They still succeed. Carter's goal still stands.
I thought that you could possibly. Like this could work. You could get a little bit more out of Jennifer Lawrence if her and Carter have a relationship. And so
that'd be nice.
She's pretty pissed because he stole the identity and fucked her over, basically. But the way you've got it is they haven't met.
Yeah.
I would have them either be friends or together or whatever it is.
What if he works for the company that runs the ship and he's got guilt about what they're doing?
If who does?
Carter.
Oh.
Yeah, How would you sell that to the company, though? Oh, I'm going to go on this death sentence.
Actually, yeah.
maybe. No. Here you go. Pitching on the fly here. Covering my own plot holes. So what if he's like, I'm going to expose their secrets. And they're like, yep, do that. So they'll put you on the ship.
Yep.
Because if you've exposed their secrets, they're going to put you on the ship. Maybe.
Yeah, that works.
Nah, it doesn't work because they have a party beforehand.
I don't know if it's necessary to know what Carter's deal is, because all that we need to know is, oh, he's not here.
Yeah, and his job was to fly the shuttle back so they could get off.
I feel like Arthur would know that Jim's not Carter, though.
So Arthur would be like, great, I don't care.
Yeah, does he really care?
He wouldn't. Again, that whole thing where Aurora's like, he's like, how could I fumble them? Why would they care that like a piece of shit like me got on the ship? It's like, yeah. Because they don't care about who's on the ship.
Yeah, okay.
And he and Jimmy is a piece of shit. His backstory, and they would just look through his history and find that he'd been done for like being a con man and some petty crimes and the car theft story. There's plot holes, but you know, there are less plot holes in my film.
The car thing was nice.
Yep.
There's always little plot inconsistencies when you go into space, though, I think.
I think there is.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've tried to build a better skeleton than what. With more fleshing out, there are bits that I need to fix.
I think,
there are still bits that I need to work out. Like the issue is again, the premise is fairly tenuous. But
I'll tell you, the thing you did, which the film didn't, is you made us genuinely care about the characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly Jim. Like, his character was a lot more relatable.
Yeah, I don't know
now.
If I really want him to die. I mean, yeah, I didn't.
You hurt me by killing him. I don't ever want that. I think I want them to have, like, a happy little 70-year life or whatever.
No, because I think in my head, especially if we decide that Carter's her, like, husband or lover,
yeah,
they're not romantically involved at all. She's like, you've earned my
just
respect.
Play like the friendship card.
I think so. I think she kisses him and he's like, he kind of realizes that, yeah, we're not going to be together. Maybe it's that night.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
It's a little un-Hollywood.
Yeah, it is a little un-Hollywood. Unfortunately, this film was very Hollywood and was stupid. So. And I gave, yeah, Lawrence Fishburne something to do, because when he turned up, I was like, mate, why aren't you a murderer?
You made him fucking excellent.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it, guys? If someone pitched this film to you, not your film, the current Passengers film.
Yeah.
In your head, immediately, you're like, yeah, Lawrence Fishburne's going to be like the villain, right?
Yeah.
He's going to come in and like throw a spanner in the works and fuck something up. But he doesn't. He's just like, oh, you need my access code? Cool. And that was it. And then cough in my hand and all.
I'll peace off. Yeah.
Oh, I'm dying.
Yeah,
If a simple fix for that is, if you're going to kill him off for his access code, have him die trying to help them. Not just, oh,
he dies your
hibernation pod fucked up, so you breathe, you've got an hour to live.
Doesn't he just go into his room and die? And then like, oh, see ya, dude. Grab his wristband.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Passengers, if it had passengers in it that did stuff.
Well, because like one big problem with the film is that outside of Lawrence Fishburne's 5-minute cameo, you've just got two characters. And I just think that...
So I give Arthur more to do.
I really liked what you did with Arthur, and giving him actual legs and not just wheels is a good move too.
Like, it's a cool aesthetic if he was like a bartender robot, but he needs to be more important than a bartender robot.
He really needed to be, because like the film is just weird.
Also, how shit would wheels be in space?
Terrible.
What if they like something like
what happened to him? Oh, he got pretty fucked. He's a gravity
suit. Yeah. But what about what if he has to go upstairs?
There's like lifts everywhere.
Like he can't. Like he's literally just stuck behind the bar, right?
Oh, he is.
Isn't he kind of just on tracks almost?
Yeah, I think he's just on a track behind the bar. He's so creepy. Like, you know how she like stitches him up, and like I think Jim comes in, and she's like, he's like, Aurora fixed me up. Thank you. And he's still eye contact and just weird.
Well, that's what this album would do.
Yeah, but now your Arthur is much much better.
Just a bit of a cheeky 2001
top mark.
Stole that whole bit.
But yeah, no, it needed to be creepier, and you certainly got that vibe going, especially when Gus came into it. Had a bit of like, have you seen Sunshine?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. Was a bit of.
But you kind of stuck the landing a bit more than Sunshine did, where it kind of just.
Sunshine has one of my greatest moments ever in a sci-fi film, where Cillian Murphy and Rose Byrne are the last two people are left alive, and he's talking to the ship's computer. He's like, planning that they can still fly to the sun and drop the bomb, but they won't be able to fly back because there's not enough oxygen to fly back.
Yep.
And he's like, what are the chances, you know, how much oxygen is left on the ship? There is enough oxygen left for two people.
Yep.
Great. Okay. Plot out course. Can we make it to the sun and back? You will die before you make it to the sun. What's the reason? Oxygen decay. How much oxygen is left for the ship? There is enough oxygen left for two people. And he just keeps getting angry and angry, and then he just stops and the music stops and he's just like, how many people are on board the ship? And she's like, there are three people on board the ship. That is the most chilling moment in that film. And then it all goes weird.
But it does go weird. And I love it, shit, though. But I fucking love that
so
movie.
So good.
How good's the bit where it's John Murphy does the score, yeah?
Yeah.
You know the bit where Chris Evans is basically getting frozen to death, but he's helping them out, like using like his last bit of strength to help them. And just that whole scene, it's fucking epic. Have you seen this movie?
No.
Oh, it's
really
good.
That sounded great. Outstanding.
Instead of watching Passengers, watch this movie.
Basically, the sun is dying and they're like this. There's a crew on the ship and they're going to like drop an atom bomb on the to reignite the sun.
And bad things happen to them.
Bad things happen along the way, but fuck, it's good. And it's not, all about not like space, my version isolation, of Passengers. And everyone's sort of going slowly going crazy because they're just locked in this like claustrophobic environment. Fuck, it's a good movie. Yeah. Check it out. It's much better than Passengers. But not your version, Tom.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, look.
That was thrilling.
Thank you. Thank you. And on that note, I've been Tom.
I've been Elise.
I've been Sean.
And if you have any suggestions on what you would do if you were a passenger in Passengers rather than being creepy, get in touch with us by emailing us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com or tweet us at sanspantsradio, or you can tweet us individually. I'm at awkwardtreed.
I'm at Elise.
And I'm at sidekickofdowie.
That's all she wrote.
Thanks.
If you think this show is worth at least a dollar, why not donate to our Patreon account? Follow the links on our website, sanspantsradio.com.